I'm Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. A scary moment at an NFL game Monday night between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. Details from CBS's Matt Piper.
Buffalo Bills defender DeMar Hamlin collided with a Cincinnati Bengals player during Monday Night Football. He got up, but then collapsed moments later. The 24-year-old safety was given CPR, then taken away in an ambulance to a local hospital. Players on both teams huddled up to pray, many looking upset, shaken, and concerned for their teammate and friend.
Fans were stunned.
Everybody around literally couldn't talk.
65,000 people sounded like a group of 20 people. It was quiet in there.
In a tweet, the Bills said Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest. He's now in an induced coma and listed in critical condition. Republicans will formally take control of the House of Representatives in just a few hours, although it's still not clear who will be Speaker of the House. CBS's Scott McFarland says it appears House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the votes he needs yet.
The first thing the newly elected members of the U.S. House must do is elect a Speaker. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy has been seeking that job for years. With his party now in control of the U.S. House, he'll likely need about 218 votes on the House floor to get it. But there's a faction of conservative Republicans who are holding out, saying McCarthy's not conservative enough, meaning McCarthy might still have to make some concessions.
That storm system that dropped record rainfall on California is now moving east, says Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
Tornadic weather and winter weather both playing out as we begin the new year across mostly the south. A lot of active areas here for severe storms. That does include tornadoes. And then we've got a major winter storm that's playing out across the plains and the Midwest with double-digit snows and ice anticipated.
If you flew into or out of Florida yesterday, you were likely delayed by an air traffic control computer issue that forced the FAA to slow flights. Delays cascaded across the country, says CBS's Manuel Bohorquez.
The FAA says it has now fixed the computer issue that led to a disruption at an air traffic control center here in Miami. That center controls millions of cubic miles of airspace for commercial flights over Florida. But even though the issue is resolved, there's a domino effect of delays.
Pope Emeritus Benedict will be laid to rest Thursday. The 95-year-old former head of the Catholic Church died Saturday. CBS's Chris Livesey is in Rome.
The Vatican has confirmed he will be buried alongside other popes in the grotto beneath the basilica.
The far-right Israeli National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir visited a mosque in Jerusalem on Tuesday in what the Palestinian Foreign Ministry has called an unprecedented provocation. The holy site is sacred to both Jews and Muslims. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual and...
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the second hour of our program. On the line with us is Professor Richard Wolff, the economist, co-founder of democracyatwork.info, author of numerous books, including his most recent, The Sickness Is the System, When Capitalism Fails to Save Us from Pandemics or Itself. It's also available as an e-book. And he's the host of Economic Update with Professor Richard Wolff, a program right here on Free Speech TV. Democracywork.info, Prof. Wolff at on Twitter. And Professor Wolff, this bipartisan omnibus bill, this giant omnibus bill that's moving through Congress this week, maybe even today, I don't know, we'll see how this shakes out, contains provisions that are being sold to us as making it easier for people to retire. And in fact, what it does is it kicks back to 75, the date by which you've got to empty your IRA into regular income. There are a few other provisions that might be of some benefit to average people, but the vast majority of the benefits are going to people who are quite wealthy. I realize this isn't so much a function of capitalism itself as it is just, you know, the Supreme Court allowing the corruption of Congress by legalizing the purchasing of politicians. But I wanted to get your take on it as an economic issue and as a structural issue, because you're a student of both.
Well, here's my reaction. Any judicious, honest appraisal of the American economy over the last 30 to 40 years notes, as have many, many documented supporters, that we have allowed an inequality of income and wealth, which was there before, to become markedly worse, basically from the 1980s onward, right through everything that happened since, through the crash of 2008, through the pandemic. It never stops. And the inflation we're living with now further creates it, because wages have risen much more slowly than prices, and that difference accrues to the people who own the businesses, et cetera, et cetera. So it would seem to me that if you have a Democratic president and the Democrats control both sides, and they constantly make statements, Janet Yellen, over and over, that we have to deal with our inequality that has become so serious, you would look at this retirement area as a way to do that. Take some progressive steps to make the average person do better in retirement. Everybody knows that you cannot live on Social Security, and so you have to look for more, and then there are millions of people who have nothing more than that at all, and others who don't have much more. So go after those issues and make it a little better. Instead, what this bill does, and it was so sad to watch Senator Schumer have to kind of play with words to obscure this, they've basically caved. They're doing absolutely nothing appropriate to all of this inequality. They had a chance. They gave it up. And it's sad. It, more than anything else, it's just this ability of a system not to go beyond verbiage about inequality when it has the opportunity and it has the votes, it still is unable to get up the momentum. And that's why there's so much criticism of all of this. I can give you some examples beyond those you mentioned, but I think the bigger issue is, once again, an opportunity to correct an imbalance has been let go. And so it is, for me, yet another sign, as you put it, that the people who have the money buy the politicians to make sure that they don't do what I just suggested would be the appropriate thing.
Now, in my, from my perspective, it seems that the Supreme Court plays a huge role in this by legalizing political bribery. We, you know, starting with the Buckley decision, which said that for the first time in the history of the United States, maybe the history of the world, that when billionaires own politicians, that's no longer called bribery or corruption. It's called free speech. And then 2 years later, a decision written by Lewis Powell himself, the First National Bank versus Bilotti decision, that said that's also true for corporations. They're persons, too, and therefore they can own politicians. And then, of course, they tripled down on it with Citizens United in 2010. Do you see structural changes beyond trying to overturn those kinds of just obscene and corrupt Supreme Court decisions that, you know, brought to us pretty much exclusively by corrupt Republicans on the court? There were a couple of Democratic appointees who voted for Buckley. But, you know, how do we best deal with this in a realistic and practical fashion?
Well, I mean, that would require us to argue about what is realistic.
Okay.
People have justified everything you just pointed to, allowing all of this to happen on the grounds over and over again, to me personally and to others that I know, that this is what is realistically possible. We can go this far, but it isn't realistic to go further. And my response has always been, okay, we've been realistic for a long time now, and we have worse inequality and worse conditions for the mass of people and the political extremism and conflict that goes with it. So I think it's a time either to give up this realism or else think more broadly about what is realistic. Our Social Security system isn't doing what, indeed, you can go back and read in the 1930s, it was intended to do. Had we taken this moment to really do something for retirees, to give the mass of people a real security as they go into their older age, they would not only be benefited directly, but it would be an enormous support to the younger people who now know that their parents are going to be in a condition that will not require them to take incomes that are barely enough for their families to help the elderly as they were, you know, as they want to do to people who were their mothers and fathers and so on. It would be a generally massively supported, massively appreciated opportunity to correct some of the unequal redistribution of wealth that the last 40 years has meant. And for me, the tragedy is, and I don't understand how anyone could argue it's unrealistic to do that, when even many of the Republicans that I speak to understand and worry that the level of inequality allowed to become worse with each of these missed opportunities will eventually get to a point where, to quote one of them, we're going to be very sorry we didn't take the steps sooner that now are no longer available because people are too angry. You can see it in the wave of strikes, in the wave of labor militancy developing now. Those are people who are not being helped by the inflation, not being helped by these laws that are passed, not being helped by an inadequate retirement system. And, you know, at a certain point, I'm in agreement with my Republican friends. This is going to blow up on us, and we will be very sorry.
Yeah. Back in the 80s, I knew people who were living on Social Security. My grandparents were living on Social Security. A good friend of mine who owned it had a little advertising agency who was kind of a mentor of mine.
Not a wealthy guy. It was a small agency in Michigan, had retired and was living on Social Security. And then Reagan reformed the system in 83 and changed the cost of living, you know, the way cost of living has been calculated. And for the 40 years since then, or almost 40 years since then, what we've seen is that every year Social Security is less able to sustain people. So there's an identifiable point and an identifiable solution, I would think, reversing that. Similarly, when Reagan came into office, the top income tax rate was 74% on the morbidly rich, and the top corporate tax rate was 53%, as I recall. It was over 50%. And now, you know, the top income tax rate is 37%. The top corporate income tax rate is functionally 25%, although most American corporations pay absolutely nothing. Aren't those great starting points that you know, as opposed, not necessarily as opposed to, I mean, I'm all in favor of major structural reform. I'm all in favor of, you know, let's go after capitalism and try to make this system work. But are those the kind of starting points that you're suggesting?
Yes, I have no problem. You know, we used to call those reforms. You know, if you change the system, you're doing more than a reform. But reforms are A, valuable in and of themselves. The best example is the one I would give is the one you just mentioned, so I won't repeat it. We used to tax wealthy businesses and wealthy individuals at much, much higher rates, and our economy was in better shape, growing faster then than it is now. There's no basis for rejecting that as a topic, even though among our politicians it seems a taboo to raise taxes, as if that couldn't be done in a progressive or socially fair kind of way. Yes, I believe in those reforms. But I think what's happening now, and that's why I'll go back to the theme, if you don't do the reforms, you are teaching the people that reform and the effort to reform is not working. It's not doing what the reforms could do if they were passed. That is, the enemy of reform, the people who don't want to give up anything, the richest of the rich, they are able to prevent not only the structural changes that we would support, but even the more modest efforts to do something about an unfair tax system, they won't do anything. They're stalling with a kind of rigid defensiveness. And there again, I would warn, that works to slow it down and to stave off the Day of Atonement and the Day of Judgment. But it's coming as you make the system work so poorly for such a majority.
I think you're absolutely right. Professor Richard Wolff, happy holidays to you, Professor. It's always so great to have you on the program, and I hope you're having a wonderful holiday season.
And the same to you and all the people that help you make this important program.
Thank you. Thank you. Professor Richard Wolff, you can check out his program, Economic Update, on Free Speech TV.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back. I want to talk about this new Medicare Advantage audit. Oh, my God. And I'll be picking up your phone calls. Also, Phil Itner is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour, live from Ukraine.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a Pack Rat. Join the Pack Rat family. Call Pack Rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, Pack Rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. That's 800-334-5468.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman. Available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Did you know that Americans have elected eight animals to political office? I realize all politicians are animals, and arguably all humans are animals, but these are non-human animals who have been elected to political office. It's absolutely fascinating. There's Stubbs the cat, who was the mayor of Talkeetna, Alaska. Most of them, by the way, have been elected mayors. Clay Henry the goat, he was the mayor of Lajitas, Texas. Max the dog was the mayor of Idlewild, California. In Milton, Washington, they didn't go for the mayor. They got a committee person, a committeeman. That's Boston Curtis the mule. And Boscow the dog became the mayor of Sunol, California. Jinx the cat, this is one of the very best. Jinx the cat was the mayor of Hell, Michigan. Isn't it nice to get away from politics every now and then, or sort of? Lincoln the goat was the mayor of Fairhaven, Vermont, and there was even a rhinoceros who was on the Sao Paulo City Council. The whole list is over at TomHartman.com. Check it out. Minutes past the hour, and this new Medicare audit is just breathtaking. Government auditors way back like years ago, they had asked a Blue Cross Medicare Advantage health plan in Minnesota to turn over medical records of patients who'd been treated by a doctor who was they believed was fraudulent. Blue Cross said they couldn't find the records. This was in 2016. Now a review of 90 government audits released to Kaiser Health News in response to a Freedom of Information Act shows that health insurers, I'm quoting from this report by Fred Shute and Holly Hacker over at Kaiser Health News,
reveals that health insurers that issue Medicare Advantage plans have repeatedly tried to sidestep regulations requiring them to document medical conditions the government paid them to treat. Now, in other words, they're ripping us off, these Medicare Advantage plans. They say auditors uncovered millions of dollars in improper payments, citing overcharges of more than $1,000 per patient per year by nearly two dozen health plans. Now, if you've got, you know, a million people and you can get $1,000, you know, a year per person that you can charge the government that you don't have to pay out in payments because you're lying to the government about how sick that person is, you know, that's, what is it, 1,000 times a million? That's a billion, isn't it? Or is that 10 billion? I can't, again, I'm terrible with math like that in my head. That's a hell of a lot of money. Let's just leave it at that. And oddly enough, Chuck Grassley of Iowa said, we need aggressive oversight to recover these overpayments. Only about 5% of Medicare Advantage plans are audited. So these companies have a huge incentive to rip us off, or to rip off our government, to rip off the Medicare Trust Fund, which is going to kill Medicare if they keep doing it. And even when they are busted, executives never go to jail. No executive has ever gone to jail for Medicare Advantage fraud, even though these companies are committing fraud left and right against you and me, against the government. The rate of invalid codes, again, quoting from this piece by Kaiser Health News, the rate of invalid codes, in other words, they're saying, okay, you have a far more serious disease than you actually have, right? The rate of invalid codes topped 80% at Touchstone Health, a defunct New York HMO. They, you know, the average that they were finding was that these companies are overbilling the government about $1,000 per person per year. This company was overbilling $5,888 per person per year. They took the money, they paid their executives huge amounts of cash, and then they bankrupted the company when it looked like maybe their fraud was going to get busted. Other Medicare Advantage plans argued that they had no luck retrieving out of, you know, old Medicare records. We just can't find them. Dave Corrigan, who is a deputy administrator at CMS, said that, quote, as a general matter, Medicare Advantage audits are not designed to detect fraud, nor are they intended to identify all improper diagnoses submissions. Well, then why the hell do we call them audits? The cost to taxpayers, Kaiser Health is estimating at 11 point of fraud within the Medicare Advantage system. And this is direct theft from our federal government by these for-profit corporations. Kaiser Health is estimating this year, 2022, at $11.4 billion. Sherrod Brown, Senator Sherrod Brown, says this is not a partisan issue. It is. Sadly, it is.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Broadly speaking, and there are clearly some, you know, variations from this, but broadly speaking, Democrats want to do something about this. Republicans like the status quo.
My dog was scratching and shedding like crazy around the house. When I heard about Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, I thought, why not? Couldn't hurt. We literally tried everything else. Our dog quickly took to it, and after a couple of weeks of adding Dynavite to his food, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and he almost completely stopped shedding and itching. I'm so glad I tried Dynavite.
My dog smelled so bad and scratched herself constantly. We bathed, sprayed, and bathed her again, but no results. And then I heard about Dynavite supplements for gut health, and all of the reviews sounded just like my Bella. After just 2 weeks, she had major improvements with the smell, and no more scratching or dragging her stomach across the carpet, and her coat is more beautiful than ever.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief, the Buffalo Bills say 24-year-old safety Damar Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest, causing him to collapse on the field just after a tackle. ESPN play-by-play announcer Joe Buck.
They have been administering CPR through these past two breaks that we've taken. Damar Hamlin has been down for over 9 minutes now.
Hamlin's in critical condition. The game was suspended. After dumping record rainfall on Northern California, a storm system is making a beeline for the south, says the Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
A lot of storms forced their way into the deep south, including Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, and Tennessee.
Pope Emeritus Benedict will be laid to rest Thursday. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Rome.
People hoping to say a final goodbye to Pope Benedict XVI poured into St. Peter's Square, waiting for the chance to walk past his body lying in state.
He was a great pope. He was a marvelous pope.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wasn't reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wasn't reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad. Your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Shh. Share the Tom Hartman Program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com. You know, Donald Trump wasn't such a terrible president other than inciting an insurrection against the government, mismanaging a pandemic that killed a million Americans, separating children from their families and then selling them off into foster care where they literally vanished, tear gassing protesters in Lafayette Square. He had the worst jobs record of any president in modern history. He tried to blackmail a foreign country to get dirt on his opponent. He fired the FBI director for investigating his ties to Russia and Putin. He took Vladimir Putin's word over U.S. intelligence. He caused the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. He lied nearly 30,000 times. He vetoed a defense funding bill because it renamed military bases away from Confederate generals. He increased the national debt by $8 trillion. He had three of the highest annual deficits in U.S. history. Well, the list goes on. There's actually over 250 things on this list, and about two-thirds of it is on a video over at TomHartman.com. Check it out. Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. And on the line with us is Phil Idner. Phil is the war correspondent and veteran war correspondent on the ground in Kyiv, Ukraine. And Phil's Twitter handle is PHILIPITTNER. And Phil, by the way, I wanted to, first of all, happy holidays and thanks so much for coming on the program regularly and giving us these updates. And I wanted to let you know that we reached out to your friend who is Erwin Redlener, who is running that the children's charity, Ukraine Children's Action Project, UkraineCAP.org.
Fantastic organization.
We had him on the program, was it yesterday, Sean? Yeah, yesterday. That's how bad I am with time. Phil, happy holidays. What's going on in Kyiv today?
Well, right back at you, Tom. Happy holidays to you. Sadly, it's also a depressing milestone today is also the 300th anniversary or the 300th day of this war. So wow. A really rather sad milestone mixed with the joys of the holiday. Which, by the way, before we get into it at full length, I have to reiterate and tell your listeners that despite all the deprivations and the difficulties of going through this winter, there is still joy here. There is still a holiday. There is still families gathering together, embracing one another, maybe more so than in normal circumstances. But there is a holiday spirit here. There's Christmas. There's Hanukkah. There's Eastern Orthodox Christmas. There's Western Protestant and Catholic Christmas. So do not despair. There is Christmas on the streets of Kyiv, and there are people enjoying the holiday with their loved ones, so it is not all doom and gloom. Now, the good news, of course, we know that President Volodymyr Zelensky is in Washington, D.C. It is his first trip. Many Ukrainians are happy to see that their president is back on the world stage and traveling. They are not particularly worried about fears that perhaps Russia might use this opportunity to up the ante and make a full-scale attack on Ukraine, because frankly they're used to full-scale attacks in Ukraine, and that's just a Tuesday. So they're happy to see Zelensky over there. They were very much heartened, a huge morale boost by seeing him on the front lines recently. A video released yesterday of him in the besieged city of Bakhmut that has raised spirits here. But generally there's people going about their holiday season, even though there is the specter of perhaps a new offensive being launched out of Belarus, and what the new year will bring. 2022 was not a great year for Ukraine. Lots of folks are hoping that 2023 will be better.
I'm curious, Phil Idner, what is life like on a practical level there in Kyiv? For example, where do you get your food? How do you prepare it? And not just you. I mean, you know, everybody around you.
I'm glad you asked me. I'm really glad you asked me that question, because you're not going to hear this on the. And this is the reason why I decided to go down the route. I could have taken an assignment from NBC or CNN or whatever. I had that opportunity, but I wanted to live amongst the Ukrainians because I think it's important to talk about things that maybe you won't see on the evening news or on the 24-hour news channels. And yes, okay, so shopping. The difficulty is sometimes they run out of power, so they'll shut down. You have to schedule your day around when the shops are open. If you see that your local grocery store has lights on, you go down there while the lights are on because you know you need to buy food. You stock up on food and water and things like that, provisions. You model your day around the potential that maybe in an hour there will be an air raid siren. So if there's something you need to do, you do it right now. And then there's also the additional issue. We're in the middle, again, in the middle of the holiday season. People are out shopping for presents and gifts for their loved ones, something special for someone special. But shops will close because they don't want their employees under the potential threat of an attack. So they'll go into the air raid shelters. It permeates so much of your daily life, just what you do, how you can plan. You can't plan too far in advance because who knows what's going to happen. That's kind of how we live here, Tom. And, you know, thankfully, there, because of the heavy weather that Ukraine experiences annually, there's an entire subterranean structure. There are shopping centers that are built underground because of the heavy snowfalls that we oftentimes get in Ukraine. And that is now doubling up, both as air raid shelters, but also as a place to go where it's relatively warm and where there is a more reliable sense source of power and internet. So there's a city beneath the city in Kiev, as there are in so many Soviet cities. You find this in Moscow, you find it in St. Petersburg, you find it. It's just the architecture of what the Soviets did.
Right.
Not only because of the weather, but because they did keep in mind that there was always a militarism in the Soviet Union, so that, you know, if you had to go to a bomb shelter, it was basically your way under ground to where you would go shopping in the heavier winter months.
Right.
So that's kind of how we're living. I don't know. Does that answer your question, or we?
More,
or
yeah, largely.
More
I,
like
no, it's fascinating. And what about the children? Are schools running?
Yes and no.
And to what extent? Also, out in the countryside,
yes no.
Are you hearing about actual, you know, famine and people freezing to death? I mean, has that become a thing now in Ukraine?
The threat is there, but they're doing everything they possibly can to avoid that. So, you know, a lot of generators are being brought into this country. You cannot walk down the street in Kiev and not hear the sound of a generator somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's just ubiquitous. And they're in it's my understanding, it's in the villages as well. I haven't been in the villages in about a month. I've been mostly in Kiev, but it's my understanding that they also have brought in generators to deal with that on the very personal level. People will seek out cafes or public spaces where they know there will be a more reliable source of power and internet. People are adjusting. It's amazing the way the human spirit can adapt to the most adverse conditions.
Yeah.
And Ukrainians are showing that on a daily basis. So is there the threat of starvation, of hypothermia, those kind of things? Absolutely. You ask about the children. Schools, some schools are open, some schools are not. Some schools are taking the lessons they took from, or adapting the lessons they learned from COVID. They're doing remote learning. But if you spoke to Dr. Erwin Redliner, he may have touched upon this. The wounds that the children have suffered in this war are not necessarily physical wounds that can be dealt with just in medical terms. The psychological damage that is being done to the children of Ukraine is a significant one. Thankfully, the Ukrainians are cognizant of this, and they are already working very hard. I know Dr. Redliner is, but I know he works with a lot of other Ukrainians who recognize that once this country wins the war, because they are convinced they are going to win this war, and I concur, that the generation that grows up in a newly free and independent Ukraine, those are going to be the leaders. They're the ones that will chart a new path for a newly sovereign and independent Ukraine. And we must deal, in their minds, their perspective is, and again, I also concur, that it is so important that that generation, perhaps most importantly and most pivotal to the future of this nation, because they're the ones that are going to receive the mantle of control of this country once this country wins its war and truly earns its independence. So they must deal with the psychological trauma that they've been going through. And it's, Tom, it's one of the hardest things in any war that I've covered many, many wars. And it's the hardest thing that you will ever see in a war is what it does to these children. Yeah. And I've seen it here and it breaks my heart, but I am hopeful that the good people like Erwin Redliner and the people who work around him and the medical staff and the people who want to make sure that the children survive this trauma in good mental health, that they're doing everything that they possibly can to make that happen. I see, you know, they're doing, you know, I saw today at the railway station here in Kiev, they had Santa Claus and his elves, you know, greeting children coming back or maybe leaving Kiev, and trying to make things as normal as possible. And if not normal, at the very least, recognize that the children need special care, because it is the children who oftentimes suffer most in war. Right. So I am cautiously optimistic that they will meet that challenge. But it is heartbreaking, Tom. I won't lie to you.
Phil, and for people who may want to check out Erwin Redliner's charity, it's Ukraine CAP, as in Children's Action Project, I believe, .org, UkraineCAP.org. Last question here, Phil, because we're gonna hit a break in a second. How are people paying for things? I mean, if the power is down continuously, I would think that the banks aren't working, the credit cards aren't working. If that were to happen here, we would be thrown into utter chaos. How does that work?
Well, they pull out, you know, you always want to have a good chunk of cash, physical cash, right, on you, or you just don't go shopping when the power is out. But this is a very sophisticated and technologically adept country. So as long as you have a phone with an with battery power in it, you know, they have digital wallets over here. The problem is, can the person selling, the shop owner, he then also has to rely on cellular information, and it's just a hodgepodge of how can we make this happen. Ultimately, yes, we either fall back on hard currency or you just don't do shopping that day. It's adaptability, Tom, and that's what the Ukrainians are showing to be experts.
Has a barter economy emerged?
I am aware of some bartering going on, but I'll tell you the one that sticks out in my mind just off the top of my head is the fact that you can go into a cafe nowadays, and when you buy a cup coffee, and you can sit there for after a while sitting around a cold coffee. Nowadays, there is an implicit agreement between people who need light and power and internet, and shop owners who can provide it. So if it's a barter, it's a barter in goodwill.
I see. Fascinating. Phil Ittner, veteran war correspondent who's now living in Kyiv, Ukraine, and reporting from there. Philip Ittner, PHILIP.
Merry Christmas, Tom.
ITTNER on Twitter. Merry Christmas to you, Phil, and thanks so much for being on the program with us.
Anytime.
Thank you. In fact, I look forward to seeing you on a more regular basis. We'll be back. It's 48 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
I'll be picking up your phone calls right after this. Stick around.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You could have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day. With no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. That's 800-307-0603.
There's a software solution to every business need, and Capterra.com can help you find yours. Whether you're a startup looking to keep better track of customers, a nonprofit hoping to have a record fundraising year, or a business that simply needs better payroll software, Capterra's got you covered. Capterra has over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from. Anything from email marketing to scheduling to accounting and beyond. Capterra makes it easy to find what you're looking for with thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. Best of all, using Capterra is absolutely free. Capterra connects you with the business software that will help you do what you do better. Visit Capterra.com today and join the millions of people who use Capterra. That's Capterra. Capterra.com. Capterra.com.
How can Chris be so relaxed when his big interview is today? Because he searched jobs on Glassdoor.com. Out of millions of listings, he filtered by distance and salary to find the job that was right for him. He researched the company on Glassdoor, too. He read employee reviews. He knows they have great medical, even free donut Fridays. So he has nothing to worry about and everything to look forward to. Glassdoor. Find the job that fits your life. Go to Glassdoor.com or download the app today.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with the living herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%. APR, 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Why is it that every American voter doesn't know that when the baby formula factory had to shut down and Congress tried to appropriate $28 million to get baby formula to families all across America, 219 Democratic members of the House of Representatives voted for that, but only 12 Republicans did? Why doesn't every voter know that only 12 Republicans voted for baby formula? Why doesn't every American know that only 34 Republicans voted to protect veterans' benefits when 222 Democrats voted for it? Why doesn't every American know that only 12 Republicans in the House of Representatives voted to lower the cost of insulin? Why doesn't every American know that not one single Republican voted to hold oil and gas companies accountable when they're nakedly, obviously, clearly, illegally engaging in price fixing and price gouging. The Democratic Party needs to fine-tune its message. There's a whole video about this over at TomHartmann.com. Check it out. Welcome back. Picking up your phone calls here. Eric in Fountain Valley, California. Hey, Eric, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I want to talk about rooftop solar and the large publicly regulated utilities.
Okay.
So last week, the California Public Utilities Commission voted 5-0 to change their policy for future rooftop solar in all of California. They're reducing the amount of credit paid back for electricity generated by new rooftop solar installations by 75%.
Yikes.
And we fought against it very hard, but obviously we lost. And the speculation is that Gavin Newsom also signed off on this since he appoints the Public Utilities Commission.
Sure. So just to understand this, Eric, if I could ask, let's say that, you know, you're paying 10 cents a kilowatt hour, just to take a round number. I realize it's probably less than that, but 10 cents a kilowatt hour when you use power from the grid. And when you generate power and feed it back to the grid, you would normally be being paid for that at what? At 10 cents a kilowatt hour? And now it's
so
going to...
It depends on the time of day. There's different different amounts that they sell it for during different times of day. So
sure.
That... at the time when you generate the most, which is during the day in the summertime, that's when electricity is the most expensive. So previously, they would pay you exactly the same as what they charge.
Right.
This is a problem that's going to occur that I think is overlooked with the future of rooftop solar, which we all agree has to proceed.
I agree.
Rapidly.
So now they'll pay you one quarter of what they would charge.
Right. And it illustrates that the public regulated monopolies and their shareholders don't really want to create a plan to move forward with what they need to do, which is to shut down their, big electric power stations running on gas and oil and transfer over to clean energy, because they don't have a plan to voluntarily phase down. And so what the states are doing, even California, is to try to keep them afloat by not basically by taxing people who adopt solar to pay for that. Now,
amazing.
They did put in a little proviso that if you have a battery, that of course that adds an expense to it. But that I think is disingenuous, because I think basically it's an excuse that they're saying that the electric power lines, maintaining them is a big expense for them, and that's why they need to charge the money. And if people have batteries, then that helps them. But I think the bottom line is that they want to suppress new rooftop solar because they realize that their business is going to shrink and shrink and shrink, and they're going to have to go out of business. And we need to deal with this moving forward.
Yeah,
it's going to prevent us
from getting where we need to go. I completely agree, Eric. This is a disaster. In Germany, they were paying people seven times the going rate for electricity because the utilities were owned by the government. It's incredible. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartmann.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.